Our next case, 13-1102, City of Cincinnati versus Daniel Ilg. For the appellant, Ms. Bishop.
Chief Justice O'Connor, members of the court, good morning. My name is Jennifer Bishop, and I'm an assistant prosecutor for the City of Cincinnati. The case presented, or the question presented in this case today, is whether an individual defendant gets to determine whether the Intoxilizer 8000 is a reliable breath testing instrument, or does the Department of Health get to determine whether the Intoxilizer 8000 is a reliable breath testing instrument, even though the state legislature has delegated the authority to the Department of Health to determine the reliability of breath testing instruments. And even though this court has repeatedly ruled that the Department of Health gets to determine the reliability of breath testing instruments, the order of the trial court makes the defendant the person that determines whether or not the breath testing instrument was reliable.
Well, actually, they're asking for the records of 62 individuals who were subject to that particular Intoxilizer 8000 machine, correct?
Yes, ma'am, but that, if they're asking for other people's breath test data, other people's breath test data cannot be used to prove whether or not the instrument was working properly when this defendant was tested.
Okay, so let me ask you, if they submit that evidence, or they in discovery, put forth that evidence, it's in the possession of the defendant, isn't it a question of whether or not that's admissible in the case, not whether or not they can obtain it on discovery?
Well, I think that what is admissible determines what is discoverable.
Pardon me?
I think what is admissible in a case determines whether or not it's subject to discovery. So in this case, because it will not produce admissible evidence, it is not.
Isn't that up for the court to decide whether it's admissible or not?
Yes, but the court has to follow the rules and the case law.
And doesn't it depend on what it's being offered for? And you're saying that it's going to be offered to challenge the validity of the Intoxilizer 8000 in general or this particular machine?
I think based upon the case law that it is clear that this information could only be used to attack the reliability of the instrument. This
the individual instrument that was utilized here.
Yes, ma'am.
Not the entire, not the concept of the Intoxilizer 8000.
Yes, but I
can't a defendant question the validity of the individual machine and goes to things like last time it was calibrated and the maintenance and indications of deficiencies that have been discovered in its
ma'am.
And the operator's qualifications and methodology.
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what State v. Vega says. Those things that go to the reliability of the instrument are discoverable. So whether or not the instrument was properly calibrated, whether they are certified, as it's called these days, whether or not the instrument was certified by a person that was qualified to do it, whether or not the solution, the testing solutions were approved, whether they followed the Department of Health procedures in testing the calibration or the certification of the instrument, all of those things may appropriately be used to determine whether or not the instrument is working properly. What may not be used to determine whether or not the instrument was working properly is a breath test that was 3 months ago, a breath test that was a year ago, and that is what defendant was seeking in the
counsel. What do you think that would show?
Ma'am?
What would the 62 other breath tests or applications of the test through an intoxilizer 8000, what would they show?
It would show nothing. It's just a way to delay OVI prosecution. It's a way to encumber an agency that has limited resources.
But counsel, who makes that determination? I'm reading the trial court's opinion, and they say Mr. Ilga is facing serious criminal charges and has the right to challenge whether this particular machine was operating properly. I'm sure you'll agree with that. Without the necessary documents, he will not be afforded that right.
Well,
and I think that you, on behalf of the state of Ohio, are saying we will give you some evidence but not other evidence. And my question is, by what authority?
Well, the standard is whether it is material, and materiality.
I think we'll all agree with that. And who makes that decision?
Well, materiality has been defined by a number of court decisions. And one of the things that courts have said, in order for evidence to be material, it has to be admissible. And not only does it have to be material, but it's material in the trial of the case.
I may disagree with you. I believe that evidence can be discovered that may not be admissible.
Counsel, is one of those 62 tests this test, the test that was at issue? So is it Mr. Ilg's?
Well, I think based upon the subpoena, not. Because if you look at the written subpoena, the first paragraph requests this COBRA data for all the different tests. The paragraph J requests his individual test results. But the other thing that I would make sure.
Was that produced?
Yes, ma'am. That was given to the defendant in December of 2011.
Wouldn't that suggest then that the department could have produced the rest of the test? If they were able to produce his information, wouldn't there be 61 other or 62 other lines of information that they also could have produced?
The testimony from the Department of Health representative is that it's not so. That's not so.
Because it's read-only.
Yes, and that in order to obtain the information that defendant is seeking, that a separate computer program has to be written that it does not exist, that in order to extrapolate. So while the information exists in a database, it's not like the information exists in a file cabinet that you can walk up to it and pull it out.
Well, I guess if we were talking about a public records request, I could see that kind of an argument where you say it's not in a document, we can't produce it for somebody. But obviously, somebody was sitting at a screen, even if it's read-only, it means you can read it. So I don't understand why the department wouldn't have been able to have somebody read it and maybe put it in an affidavit or something, or take a screenshot. I mean, I just don't understand the practicality of why they couldn't have produced something. Maybe not the original database, but something. And is that the frustration that we're seeing from the trial court? Is that what we're really talking about here? You didn't do anything.
Well, I disagree with the conclusion that the Department of Health didn't do anything. If you look at the testimony at Ms. Martin at the motion to compel hearing, she said that she had conducted an extensive investigation, that she had spoken to, 10 to 20 people, that she had talked to IT people inside the department and outside of the department, that that they had been looking into this issue for.
I don't mean to criticize her. An individual that was probably looking for ways to reproduce that database or to present it in some way. But did anyone consider we could have her read it and we could put in an affidavit what that information says? Weren't there any alternatives that were explored? That wouldn't be necessarily her responsibility.
If you're asking me were any alternatives explored by the Department of Health, I don't know. I do know what her testimony was at the motion to compel, and her testimony at the motion to compel was that they had conducted extensive research in how to produce it, and that the way, or that the only way that she was told that it could be provided was hiring this additional person, writing an additional computer program, and that it is a lot of data.
Counsel, how did they get the defendant's information then?
The defendant's information is printed out at the time of his breath test, so, and that was given to the defendant in discovery.
But it's the same information that is contained in the COBRA material.
Yes, ma'am. And that was physically given to defendant through discovery in December of 2011. So
it was printed out where? Where was it?
The subject test report form.
Okay, and that was retained then in the file that is associated with this individual's case for prosecution?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so presumably you've got 61 other files because the other folks were all, I would presume, prosecuted in some manner for their violation of that. And why didn't you just go to each one of those paper files and pull out their COBRA printout and supply it that way?
I don't believe that it was discoverable. I don't believe that it was discoverable.
That's not my question.
No,
that's
well, not- but the reason it wasn't done, because that is not anything that we thought had to be provided to the defendant.
But it wouldn't have taken then $100,000 special, you know, a technological guru to come in here and pull this stuff. You had paper copies of these 62 or 61 other readouts that were identical to the readout you gave Mr. Ilg.
Did I have it? No. Does the Department of Health have it? Perhaps. But the Department of Health's response to the question was that the way to do it was to bring it out of the computer. Whether
did you advise the Department of Health that this was not admissible evidence and not material and therefore not discoverable?
I don't advise the Department of Health, but in this particular, I work for the City of Cincinnati, so I was and am prosecuting this individual OVI case. Huh? So I don't advise the Department of Health.
If you had provided the readouts or the printouts as we've been talking about, would that have completed what was being asked by the defendants, or were they asking for additional material?
My understanding, based upon what was written in the subpoena ducis tecum, is that the defendant wants the database. The paragraph 1 of his subpoena 1A says any and all computerized online breath data archives. So to the Chief Justice's question and to your question, I do not think that a physical printout is what was the 65 tests or whatever would have satisfied that request. Was there any discussion about a compromise? And if that had been, no, ma'am, that was not part of the discussion at the motion to compel hearings. But his request was for the database. His request was not for separate printouts from individual persons, but
you mentioned that the Department of Health has looked at these machines. What have they actually done to make sure that they are reliable?
Well,
I mean, how can you said just count on what the department has said? Basically, if they've blessed the machine, then the only thing you can look at is your own information. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, ma'am, because that's the law in this state. The law in this state is that the Department of Health determines what breath testing instruments are reliable.
What statute are you referring to? When you say the law in this state, what are you referring to?
The DUI statute, 4511.19, says that. And there's also an administrative code section that says that the Department of Health determines the breath testing instruments. When the Department of Health approves a breath testing instrument, it is noted in the Administrative Code section, and then the law enforcement agencies adopt a breath testing instrument that is approved by the state. So one, the Department of Health approves it. Two, the instruments are certified, so their accuracy is tested through calibration checks, through instrument checks.
Do you think no defendant can challenge that? No defendant who is accused or seeking discovery can challenge the determinations of the Department of Health? Because the Department of Health says it, everyone has to accept it. Is that your view?
No, they can challenge whether or not it's properly calibrated. And this is what was established in Vega. A defendant can establish that something happened in the actual performance of his test. The defendant can challenge the...
You say it's limited to his test, but can he not demonstrate that in another instance it was faulty?
You don't think
he can?
No, sir.
So you say that's not discoverable, and that's why you're not going to give it to him?
Exactly.
So you want us to determine whether or not the request of the defendant is leading to discoverable evidence?
Correct, because I think based upon the existing case law, it does not. But that does not mean that the defendant does not have the opportunity to challenge the reliability of the instrument.
In his case?
Yes, okay. That's what we do in motions to suppress every day. In motions to suppress, the calibration is challenged, the qualifications of the operator, whether or not the administrative regulations were followed. And they're heard every day in municipal court.
What you're saying, counsel, is the science and the technology of an intoxilizer 8000 is beyond question once the Department of Health has sanctioned and certified that to be used in the state of Ohio. And the only thing the defendant can then challenge is that individual machine and its maintenance and operation.
I'm saying it because this court has said it.
I understand
that's what
that.
This court said in Vega.
We didn't talk about an intoxilizer 8000 in Vega, did we? That was a 1984 case.
Correct. But breath testing instruments change all the time.
Isn't that the point? They change all the time, and so they ought to be looked at very carefully when we're talking about proof beyond a reasonable doubt?
Yes, ma'am. They are looked at all the time, but the question is,
but not by the defendants, you're saying?
Exactly. They're looked at by the Department of Health, because that's what this court said, is that we defer to the Department of Health because they are the experts. They have the ability to determine whether or not a breath testing instrument is reliable.
But thank God we're at the Supreme Court today and we can talk about this. So you're telling me that if a defendant who's about to go to jail had a physicist from Harvard who wanted to come in and said these machines are voodoo and they don't work, you're saying that would be improper and not permissible?
Correct, because that determination is the legislature appointed the Department of Health,
Fully understand that. And this is the Supreme Court of Ohio that determines what evidence is probative.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But the Department of Health has the expertise and trial courts don't. And that's exactly why Vega was decided. That's exactly why Vega has been followed. So each new breath testing instrument is examined by the Department of Health. Each new breath testing instrument, a protocol is established so that if the administrative code regulations are followed, the courts are assured that the breath testing instrument is reliable.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Adams.
Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for Mr. Huey, who's an amici in this case.
Okay, can you speak up, please, into the microphone?
Yes. This case is about one test for one machine and the state of Ohio's choice to willfully violate a court order compelling disclosure of relevant evidence. This case is also about whether or not the trial court abused her discretion in sanctioning the state for their willful violation of this discovery order.
What's the relevant evidence?
I'm sorry.
What's the relevant evidence?
The relevant evidence is called COBRA data, and I know that the court was focused on 62 other test results, but COBRA data is more than just 62 individual test results. COBRA data is a specific application that the state of Ohio selected in order to have a quality assurance and quality control program for a intoxilizer machine. COBRA data is designed to automatically collect, organize, and produce data relating directly to the accuracy and reliability of a given machine at any given time. It goes above and beyond just those 62 test results. It determines the overall reliability of the machine because it can be evaluated by this particular data. For example,
so why is that retained by the Department of Health?
Well, we believe that the Department of Health retains this data so that they can oversee whether or not a particular machine is working properly. For example, from this data, you can determine calibration drift, electronic stability, environmental influences and problems. You can identify trend behavior based upon, you know, one time frame to another time frame. It can reveal the experience and overall performance of an operator. It can deal with RFI detection, ambient air failures, an abnormally high number of refusals, which sometimes can reflect performance of an operator, not necessarily the machine, mouth alcohol issues. It's a window-based application that the state of Ohio specifically chose as a testing procedure. In Vega, in 1984, before we had COBRA data, they said that technical evidence may be used to rebut a breath test or a machine. They also said that expert testimony can be used in order to challenge testing procedures. COBRA data is a testing procedure selected by the state of Ohio to maintain quality control and quality assurance of the overall.
So if you got the raw COBRA data, what would you do with that?
Give it to an expert who's trained in these issues to review it, and then he can give us a report as to whether or not he believes the machine is working properly, because we believe that this would even the playing field, because if the expert comes back to us...
Do you have any information that this machine was malfunctioning?
Actually, in our expert's affidavit, he indicated that, at least from what he could see from the website... Now, remember, the website that's available to the public is different than the COBRA data. That data on the website is specifically selected by the Department of Health to be uploaded onto their website. It does not cover all the data. If we had all the data, then an expert could opine whether or not Mr. Ilg's test was reliable at the time it was given. And that's up to an expert.
So you're just looking for the reliability factor of this particular machine, because I hear the state saying that you want to challenge the Intoxilizer 8000 wholesale.
No, that's not correct. In fact, in the...
So you're really not deviating from the dictates of Vega, which is the Department of Health is the entity that will certify and sanction the use of the intoxilizers.
You made a good point, Your Honor. They may sanction the use of, but they're not the ultimate decider as to whether or not that result at that time was reliable.
Correct. So you're only interested in the one machine that your defendant utilized.
Correct. And that machine has 60 tables of COBRA data. We don't know what those tables are, because that was from the state's expert, 60 tables of information. She didn't know what they were, but they're in a read-only format, but they go above and beyond the 62 individual tests that the court previously referred to.
And that data is captured internal to a specific machine.
So yes.
It's on a chip inside the machine.
Well, I'm not a computer expert, but it cannot be tampered with, and if it's If an expert has all of it, he can make a determination as to whether or not the machine was working properly at any given time for any given test.
And how's the expert do that?
Well, he needs the information. During cross-examination in this particular hearing, the breath testing director was cross-examined, and there was a telephone conversation between she and an expert, and the expert indicated it could cost $75, but with the cooperation of the Department of Health.
It could cost $75?
Yes.
To do what?
In order to get the information and produce it on a disc.
And how is that done?
What do you mean, Your Honor? I'm sorry.
Well, what happens to the machine? Well, it's tamper-proof. It's on a chip inside the machine, and you want the data extracted from the machine and then supplied to your expert.
Correct. They press a button.
So how is that accomplished? What I'm getting at is, how long does the machine have to be taken out of service? No. Where does it have to go?
No, the machine's not taken out of service because there's a central database at the Department of Health, and it's all done remotely. The machine doesn't have to be taken out of service.
The machine sits there, and it's beaming information to a satellite and then to the Ohio Department of Health as each test is taken. Is that how it works?
Something to that effect. I'm not a computer expert, but...
I want to know. You want to have a trial. There's a machine that Cincinnati relies on to presumably people don't stop drinking while you're having this trial.
No.
How do they get this data and still keep the machine in service?
They have an IT department within the Department of Health. The Department of Health has access to all this COBRA data remotely. So the Department of Health can sign on, log in, whatever they need to do to get a printout or a download of, in a read-only format, I suppose, of all the information on that particular machine.
Read-only format simply means nobody can alter it. It doesn't mean that it has to be on the screen and you watch it or you read it on a screen. Read-only means nobody can tamper with it, alter it. The difference between like a Word document and a PDF, I would imagine.
Frankly, Judge, I don't know,
right,
but
mind.
I'll take your word for
we'll forget
it.
Forget that one. So obviously, you're not the expert.
I'm not the expert, but I want to get the information to an expert. That's the point here.
But hasn't the court made a ruling in your case that the evidence is because they didn't produce it?
Yes, Your Honor.
So is it moot in your case?
In our case,
have you already won? Because the court has said they didn't produce it, therefore?
On the per se charge.
Pardon me, please?
On the per se charge, perhaps, yes. It depends on what this court does as well. But I believe on the per se charge, we've won.
Well, the Court of Appeals upheld the court's motion to suppress the evidence.
Yes.
Is that right or not?
It is right. And
only
they
the
also ruled that based
on. Only the intoxilizer evidence.
Correct.
There's other evidence as to your client's intoxication or violation.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Good answer.
So this case is not over.
No.
It's not moot. It's only, and the whole issue, obviously, the state is appealing here because they'd like to bring this intoxilizer evidence in.
Yes, but I think another point to consider is, was it an abuse of discretion? That's a key issue here. They had 10 months to provide this. My first discovery demand asked for COBRA data for this specific machine. 10 months later, they don't produce it. Not only that, the ninth month, the court ordered them to produce it, and a month later, they willfully didn't do anything to attempt to obtain the information. That was the director's testimony in the final hearing in September. A question was asked, did you even attempt to get it? And she said no. So the trial court made a decision.
Counsel,
reasonably.
Let me ask you, at the hearing with regards to the discovery, the Department of Health was there. Was the Department of Health, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, was the Department of Health represented at that
Apparently, they had four or five lawyers present.
Okay.
That were lawyers for the Department of Health or the Attorney General's office.
All right.
May I reserve some time for Mr. Sure. Huey, please?
Mr. Thank Huey? You.
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. I'm Tim Huey. I'm here for the various amici in this case, and I'm actually here to give more of a broader perspective outside of the city of Cincinnati, throughout the state of Ohio, and actually nationally with regard to these issues. However, Justice Pfeiffer, I can tell you a little bit more about, I'm not an expert either, but I did have, I've been lead counsel in a number of the cases, trial court cases that are mentioned in the amicus briefs. Relative to the 8,000. And the way the 8,000 works in terms of the data is that the machine stores this this data. It prints out a printout. The printout simply tells what the result of that person's test is. It stores a number of other aspects of data in the machine, and then once a week or so, it downloads it through actually the leads terminal to the Department of Health to what we call the mother computer. From the mother computer, they then send stuff out to the website so people can view it, but they select which pieces they send out to the website, and it's not nearly all of the information your experts would need or our experts have requested in terms of some of these cases.
Now, you referred to the website. What is that?
So the Ohio Department of Health, when they adopted the Doxilizer 8000, created a website that you can go to that website and see certain information. So you could go to that website and
so
see.
You can say, okay, we have machine number 27 in Upper Arlington, and once a week through the LEADS program, the data is electronically moved to the mother.
Correct. Correct.
Mother computer. And then mother computer moves it to some of the data to the website.
Correct. So the Department of Health's IT folks have said this information is what we're going to provide to the website. Now, ironically, that sounded like a good idea when they proposed it. The first case involving this issue was State versus Jerome, and in State versus Jerome, they got there and they actually indicated to us, well, no, that information on the website is not accurate. So you can't rely on anything that's on the website. And part of the reason they said that was because one of the test results showed a person had a 2% alcohol level that we were ready to show in that case. A 2%, like 10 times the death limit. And of course, they decided that, no, you can't rely upon that data. They've also, at times, decided, well, we're not going to provide these particular pieces of data because the courts had suppressed some cases saying these data show that your machine's not working properly. And the Department of Health decided, okay, we're going to remove that data because the courts found it confusing. That's actually what they said in their testimony. The courts found it confusing. They're confused because they found that particular machine wasn't operating accurately in that case.
But if a machine is not operating accurately, wouldn't you have the what would be discoverable would be all of the internal activity as related to that machine to correct it, you know, first to identify the problem and then the maintenance records or whatever is necessary in order to recalibrate it and make sure that it's running correctly.
We would love to have that information, Your Honor. We do not have that information. That's what Mr. Adams was indicating. The Department of Health has that information. That's why they asked for that COBRA data.
Are you saying only that information is only contained in COBRA records?
There's
or the maintenance of the individual machines is a separate file of information?
Absolutely.
I thought you got that in this machine.
What they do with these machines is when it comes to maintenance records, they make a handwritten or they make an on-site record and they upload that to the website, but it's selected. If they determine that it's maintenance, then they upload it, like the certification, the yearly certifications, they'll upload those. However, in this particular case, they indicated that this machine had been modified, because one of the things, because we have this LEADS data, they can modify the machine remotely. So the manufacturer of this machine has modified it 12 times remotely making modifications because obviously there are issues. We don't know what those modifications are. Mr. Ilg does not know what those modifications are. That's not maintenance according to them. So they get to pick and choose what is maintenance and what is not maintenance. What's an error, what's not an error.
You don't know if they're making it more accurate, they're reprogramming it with the latest software that's going to be able to, you know, more accurately or more quickly, you know, compile the data?
It would be great if they do that, and we'd hope they do. But what if they did it the day after Mr. Ilg's test? If they made it more accurate, then obviously when it was operating under his test, then it's less accurate. As I said, I want to give more of a broader perspective in this
well,
case.
You've run out of time to do that.
Let me just ask you before you sit down, Mr. Huey. The court has granted a motion to quash in this case, right?
Correct.
And you ask us to affirm.
Well, I'm sorry. The court denied the motion to quash.
Okay.
Granted a motion to suppress.
Right. And the Court of Appeals affirmed.
That's correct.
You want us to affirm that determination?
Absolutely.
How then do we get to the question of whether or not COBRA, the database, is or is not discoverable evidence?
Well, in this case, the trial court has said the information that Mr. Ilg has asked for is discoverable. They said we're not going to provide it. I guarantee you that 2 weeks from now, there'll be another case. Now, understand that the intoxilizer 8000, as you said, Chief Justice, hopefully they're making it better, except they don't sell it anymore. The intoxilizer 8000 is no longer being produced. They now make a 9000. They don't make the 8000. The 8000, Justice Pfeiffer, will not be in Upper Arlington because Upper Arlington doesn't use the 8000. We have five other machines in the state of Ohio. Most agencies aren't using the 8000 anymore. Franklin County never has. But in order to get to whether or not the database is discoverable, the next court can hear these arguments, and they can make some of these counterarguments that they made with some actual evidence. They don't get up and have Mary Martin, who was for the Department of Health, is the lawyer for the Department of Health. She's not an expert. If they wanted to say that this thing's going to cost too much, where Mr. Adams says it's $75, and they want to say, well, no, it's a lot more, well, bring somebody on to say it's a lot more. Have an actual evidentiary hearing and have the experts on saying this is why it's material.
But that's not this case.
That is not this case, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, one last question, if I may.
Certainly,
so you're telling me that the 8,000 has come and gone and never has been ratified by this court, has it?
It has not. It has not. And it's there's still instruments out there, but every instrument, every 8,000 that's out there has a replacement data master sitting next to it. Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, you've used your time. You may take a minute.
Well, if I could just clarify that this was a motion to compel. This was not a motion to suppress. As a discovery sanction, the court said that the breath test could not be used. But I'm sure there will be a hearing on the motion to suppress at some point in this case. But my real point on rebuttal is that the Department of Health is the expert, and the expert said that this information could not be provided without a lot of extra expense and extra personnel to the Department of Health. Defense attorney is saying, well, we want our expert to look at it, but the expert that the legislature designated has already said that this information cannot be provided.
Counsel, I want to make sure you're accurate this morning. The evidence has been suppressed in this case by the trial court.
The breath test result is not admissible, correct?
Been suppressed.
Yes, sir, as a discovery sanction. And that's why we're here. Because it is an inappropriate discovery sanction because the Department of Health.
But you do concede it is suppressed.
Yes, it will not be admitted into the trial into evidence at trial at this point. But there is a motion to suppress filed in this case, and the trial judge often says that's an issue that we're going to determine at the motion to suppress.
You're seeking to have this court overturn the discovery sanction imposed,
yes,
by the trial court,
yes,
and
sir,
affirmed by the Court of Appeal. So,
yes,
really,
sir,
your case is all about the propriety of the trial court's determination to issue a sanction against,
yes,
the state in this case.
Yes, sir.
That's your case.
Absolutely, yes.
And that's an abuse of discretion?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
And your view is that the COBRA database information is not discoverable?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. The decision of the trial and appellate courts should be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you call a recess, please?